See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller. Cody and I back at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you to Jeff Dickerson. A crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse. 1,000-pound thoroughbred athletes back at Hawthorne, Chicago's hometown track. Download the Club Hawthorne app to watch and wager from anywhere. Details at hawthornracecourse.com. And if you listened to Edzo on Friday, he gave out the Exacta.
Nice.
And that was the winner in the Classic.
Beautiful. So
nicely done,
Edzo. Beautiful. Edzo. Nice.
Edzo. There you go.
What'd that Exacta pay?
I don't know. I have to look up because I didn't bet it.
I didn't bet it either. Should have listened to Edzo.
Yeah.
Damn. So, damn.
I got smacked in the mouth pretty good on Friday.
Yeah?
So I went hiking with my wife Saturday.
Good. Just so, didn't bet in anything? Just say forget
didn't
it?
Didn't have one race.
Yeah.
So no. Came back. Watched.
I bet a few over the Clemson. Weekend. I think I lost them all. So stupid horse racing. I don't know why I bother.
I tell you. That's it. But it's fun. Anyway.
It is fun.
It is time to crosstalk, Hoodie.
Ready.
Brought to you by Club Hawthorne. There you go.
That's it.
HawthorneRacecourse.com.
Hey. Carm, Yurko, how's everything?
Hey, how you doing? Good? Hey, Dan. Good. Hey, how you doing?
Good, Yurk. Good to talk
you
to you, buddy.
How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Did the 15...
Carm and Yurko!
Wow.
I knew it was coming in at
I
some point.
I did, too, but it still startled me. Bom, 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 bom. Yurk, the 15-teamer, did it hit?
No.
The 13-teamer?
13, whatever.
No, 7-5 this week.
7-5-1 for the good
Yeah, 7-5-1. Vegas, no good. I had it -1 Vegas.
Yeah,
that's a push. Yeah.
Carm always tells me not to play the big parlays.
No.
And again, one game killed me.
Of course.
The freaking Chargers.
Boy, and they almost, that's 2 weeks in a row right at the buzzer. Oh, and they almost won. I thought he held on to it at first. When I saw it, I said, the Chargers just won.
So I went to pick up dinner for me and Mindy. I get back to my house, and I'm listening on XM.
Yeah.
And they said, touchdown! And then I'm like, oh, please be, you know, make sure the call stands. The announcer for the Chargers, I'm listening to him. He said, well, that's clearly a touchdown, so this one's in the wing column. I turn the car off, I come in, and I see the Raiders celebrating on red zone.
I don't know what he was looking at. When you saw the replay, you saw clearly that ball was jostling and hit the ground. I mean, in real time, I thought he had it, but the minute you saw the replay, you knew. Tough break. What are you going to do?
Yep, that's it.
Cap, where'd you pick up dinner from?
Wildfire.
Oh, good call.
Wildfire.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was a kick in the you-know-what. I mean, it's 78 degrees in November, and we got to spend 3 hours inside watching that garbage. The Bears are trash.
I played golf.
Good for you, Yurko, actually.
Yeah, I was out at 8 in the morning, guys.
Good for you.
Yeah.
They ruined a completely beautiful Sunday for all of us. Now we got to watch that hack Jason LaConfora gloat, too, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, what did he say?
Oh, he wrote his whole article about, I told you the Bears stink. And he wasn't wrong at the time, but still, you know, it's bad that he gets to gloat now.
Correct.
That's what makes
like
it so painful.
Like, if someone we like,
of course. We all said the same thing, too. We said that's the worst 5-1 team I've ever seen in my life. But when he says it and he gets to say, I told you so, it's even worse. I mean, just miserable.
Miserable.
Absolutely miserable.
Miserable.
You're spinning your wheels till you find a quarterback. You know, this. It is what it is. You know, I'd rather be, we said last week, we'd rather be the Bengals. You know, Bengals have two wins, but, I mean, at least they've got Higgins and Boyd, and Burrow might be a stud. I'd rather be the Dolphins, boys. I mean, honestly, right?
Yeah.
At least, even if, like, could we, is there... any scenario ever where we could truly be excited about our young quarterback. I don't know if Herbert will be all that good. Sure looks like he might be pretty good. I'd be excited about him if he was the Bears quarterback.
So would I.
Or Joe Burrow or Tua or Kyler Murray, even though they're far from a perfect team still and lost outright as a home favorite yesterday. How'd you like to have Kyler Murray? I mean, like, it just is, it sucks. It sucks to still be in this position complaining about the same old things. Game after game, year after week after week, year after year, it's just brutal.
I have a question for Yurko. So
yeah, I'm here.
You decide to run a fake punt.
Yes.
Yep.
You run a fake punt, and Mr. BU is looking down, as the Waddle and Sylvie show call it, the Denny's menu.
PU.
Okay.
PU.
Why? Is it because he's so involved on every level that they can't get the right personnel on the field? Does that fall at the feet of the wide receiver coach because they couldn't get the right personnel, so they got to take a timeout out of a fake punt?
Terrible.
My answer is Moon's over Miami. That's what I'm looking at. Moon's over Miami. Now, the dilemma is that you go for the fake punt. You got to keep your offense close to the sideline to let them know, hey, there's a chance we're going to get a fake punt. We're going to go ahead and convert on this bad boy. If we convert on this bad boy, this is what we're going out in. Whatever personnel group that you want. This is what we're going out in. This is our first play as we go. So that should already be communicated on the sidelines with your guy. Don't go too far away. Don't go drifting off. Don't go putting your cowboy hat on, not your cowboy hat, your baseball hat on, and adjusting it for 25 minutes so it looks perfect in the sun in Carolina or wherever the hell they were.
Nashville.
Close enough. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Either way, powder blue jerseys that look very nice.
Same thing.
Yeah, the point being. How was your Saturday night?
I love cowboy hat.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love cowboy hats, guys? My Saturday night was great.
Yurko ends up back at home with nothing but that cowboy hat.
Right. No, I think the point being
God,
that.
What a vision.
That all that information should already be conveyed to your team as they're getting to the sideline. Don't drift too far. Don't go sitting down. Don't go feeling sorry for yourself. We're going to go at it. This is the play we're going to go. Let's go. Let's get back out there and let's get it done. That is a highly emotional moment. You just tricked them. Use some trickeration. You've got the ball back. Now you go on the attack. Nope. Got to call timeout.
Brutal.
It's brutal.
And it's not the wide receiver's coach's fault. It's not anybody. It's Matt Nagy's fault, period.
How about fourth and one? You get Arlington Hambright, false start. All right. I get it. He's a seventh-round kid off the practice squad. But then Jimmy Graham. Now it's 4th and 11. We got a kick.
Can you imagine foot and you're punting? They went from 4th and 1 to 4th and 11.
I'll be frank with you.
How about the one, the last possession of the first half?
Terrible.
First of all, you've used the timeout out of the fake punt.
Terrible.
And now you're in plus territory.
They backed them
first
up to like their 1:37.
1st and 25.
I mean, are you kidding?
We got they false both. Start, and then we've got illegal use of hands to the face.
First and 20, right? Yeah. 15
they called both of those
yards.
Penalties on the Bears, but I thought if you look at the replays, the Tennessee Titans were jumping off sides on that play.
I thought one of them.
And they reacted,
yeah.
Even the Jimmy Graham one where he looks clueless.
Jeez.
Brutal. You know, Jimmy Graham was brought here for red zone offense and to catch the ball. If you think Jimmy Graham is going to make 2% effort in trying to block anybody, you're making a mistake. He wants no part of blocking anybody. It's not part of his tight end requiem, if you will. You're not going to look at his description of a player and look at zero blocking ability. More importantly, zero want to block anybody. Okay, he'll tell you, I don't want to block anybody. Don't even think about putting me in a situation where I want to block. And you see it in his horse crap effort that he has in trying to block people. He doesn't want to do it. So why ask him to do it?
It's brutal.
And you knew it when you brought him here. You knew it when you brought him here. That's why teams are willing to say goodbye to Jimmy Graham. Goodbye. We don't want you.
Yeah, he's on his fourth team. For such a talented guy, you're on four teams. I mean,
and supposedly a good dude. So it's not like he's a bad guy.
I don't think so. I mean,
he doesn't want to block.
He's never really wanted to block. He's no George Kittle, that's for sure. He's not going to block. He's older. He's not getting away from it. They schemed up a nice play to him early where he was open. That was a good scheme, actually. Problem is that there's too little of that. Those plays are few and far between. That's why this offense stinks.
This is the problem with this team. Early in the game, third down, they get off the field, and I got Greg Jennings telling me what a great play it is. Kyle Fuller comes in and drops an interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah. Should have been picked.
Well, it's a great play. That's a great play. That's not a great play. That's a good play. Yeah. You're off the field. Your team's going to get the football. A great play is when you go up with two hands and you catch the damn ball, and then you run it into the end zone. That's a great play. And too many times there's chances to make great plays, and the Bears don't do it. The Bears don't make great plays. Henceforth, they're not a great team. They're a very average football team with a horrendous offensive line because of injuries.
It's like
horrendous offensive line.
It's like the only thing that they can – like the only way they're going to score is if he does hold on to that ball. Like they need the defense to put them in short fields or – quite frankly, just
take
score.
Away after takeaway.
That's it. I mean, I don't know how else.
They need to score too, though. The defense.
That, you're right. That's what I mean, Hoodie. Like, either they need to set the Bears up with a very short field, or they just need to score. You're right. Like, they need a pick six or pick up a ball
ask
and run it back in.
Richard Dent would yell at them coming off the field.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
He said, just don't turn it just over. We'll worry about the scoring.
Please, guys, please don't turn it over in a bad spot here. I mean, it's like that's the only way they're going to score points. You figure that's the only way they can win games is if the defense does something like that to put them in a fortuitous spot. And Yerk's right. I mean, yeah, it was a good play. The great play is hold on to it because they need you to. I know it's kind of ridiculous to be overly critical of this defense, but that's how bad the offense is. It's really the only way they're going to win.
Right.
I think it's just when you look at it, you just have a definition of what is, and that's all we're looking for. What's the definition? This is a very good defense. They've dropped from being a great defense. It's a very good defense. And I'm not going to be overly – it's the only thing we have.
Right.
And it's the only thing I really take pride in on Sundays is watching this team rush the quarterback and make some plays every once in a while. But after that, I mean, they held Derrick Henry to, you know, 3 yards of carry for the whole team. They held Derrick Henry in check. I mean, that is difficult to do.
This is one
That's what the Bears did.
And that throw to A.J. Brown.
That was awesome. That was great. It was good coverage.
Buster Screen was right there. Yeah.
They held this has been – the Titans have a prolific offense. They held them to 17 points. You know?
That they did.
They held them to 17 points.
And then the garbage time, it's 24-3 with 5 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's going to try to sell me today from Hallis Hall on how, you saw how potent we could be. Yeah, when they take the foot off the accelerator, all of a sudden this offense can work.
Prevent defense.
What did Matt say last year in the New Orleans game? They were down a billion and Mitch threw two late scores. And he went, that's garbage time. I'm not looking at that. I want to hear the same thing today.
Same thing, exactly.
Yeah, still garbage time.
All of a sudden your corners are 10 yards off of the line of scrimmage and they're just playing prevent defense. Big deal.
It's like what JD said, that the score is actually 24-3.
Exactly, Hoodie.
It was not 24-17. Right. No, that's what it was.
Correct.
That, if there was one play, Yerk, that really exemplifies Bears football is in the fourth quarter, first down, where Foles doesn't know whether or not he needs to pitch it or hand it off. Did you see that?
Oh, God, yeah.
He's like, there's nobody. I think
that's where Allen Robinson got picked by his own guy. I think one of their offensive linemen, Big Shot, got pushed back
into him.
He got pushed right into Allen Robinson. And Trubisky's standing there like, what the hell? Foles, I'm sorry. I'm punch drunk, dude. They wear me out, guys.
A lot of football this weekend.
They wear me out. Yeah, Foles is standing there looking around. What the hell now? And he just got to tuck it and run. I mean, like, it's such a disaster.
Where is he?
It is, I mean, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Cairo Santos made another kick.
Well, good for Cairo.
Well, that's one of the
offensive weapons.
At least they got a
kicker. Thank God.
Yeah, you got an offensive weapon. You know, and in your case, you well know, like, you just look around the league and you just go, even if a team is underachieving, at least you got a young quarterback that you can build on.
Right.
You know?
But you got Dick Stockton.
Even Carolina's got Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, you beat Carolina, but would you rather beat Carolina than the Bears?
You're in the game against Kansas City, but it's Kansas City. They beat you from behind, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Better football team.
Well, at least we got Dick Stockton and Greg Jennings.
Yeah, we got that going for us.
On the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
There you go. Pulled Kaplan right there.
Is the best.
Now, tell your listeners what you love most about Cheney.
And you asked it like it was a question mark.
We get Dick Stockton every week, you guys. This is it. Every week. Well, at least Monday night we'll get the Monday night crew for this week. You know, then they've got a Sunday night game out of the bye, Thanksgiving weekend against the Packers. Boy, that's going to be pretty. Jesus, are you kidding me? The way things look right now?
That might be a 14-point spread.
My God. Bears were a favorite in the look-ahead line. They're a dog when Vegas opened it last night after yesterday. Yeah, that's not a shocker.
2.5?
Yeah, about 2.5. Delvin's healthy right now. I mean, could they beat the Vikings? I mean, sure, anybody can beat anybody in this league. Don't get me wrong, but
Their strength goes up against the Bears' strength. They stopped Derrick Henry. Why wouldn't they be able to stop Delvin Cook?
Boy, Delvin.
Okay, but then the offense takes the field, and then you're like, oh hell. There's a better chance of that offense going backwards than it is going forward.
We have a genius among us, and that is Carmen DeFalco. What was the opening line for Dallas in Pittsburgh?
14.
What did he say? What did he say to us, Cap, on Friday? He goes, I don't know. I wouldn't do anything with this game, but it might be close to the expert. This is Carm.
I bet it. I ended up betting. And I'm like, I might be crazy betting Dallas because they're playing a fourth quarterback, but there's just no way you can't take into consideration a team playing a third straight week on the road, especially a non-conference game Pittsburgh had to play.
Gilbert's the quarterback, and you said, I kind of like the Cowboys. Like, what?
I bet it. Well, that was a scheduling. Sometimes you got to look at these scheduling spots, guys. The teams historically, and I had Jacob Nitzberg in research look back just to the year 2000. The winning percentage for NFL teams playing the third straight road game is like 42% they win. I mean, it's just, and Yurko told us, Yurko laid it out for us on Friday because I asked him about it. He said, it's damn hard. And they played two conference games that they won. You go on the road, you play a terrible Dallas team.
Well,
like
the Raven game is such a focal point.
Of course. I mean, and they've got another Ravens game in a couple of weeks. That was a pure scheduling spot. Like, just play it because.
Just let's get out of here with a win.
And that's it. And they did. And they were better. When they had to be, they were just good enough. But that's why I played that game.
By the way, Mike Tomlin, 14th year now as a head coach.
Yeah.
Has never had a losing record.
Yeah, they'll be 8-8 this year. He's never had a losing record.
So Garrett Gilbert or Foles right now?
That Gilbert's got some moxie, guys.
I'll punt. He does have a little moxie, doesn't he?
That Gilbert's got some moxie.
Wow. He does have a little bit.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, just enough moxie to get you beat, though.
That's right. Yeah, Yurko.
I mean, you're a play away, though, Yurk. You're right there.
Play away.
In the fourth quarter.
It would have been great.
How about it's sad, Alex Trebek?
I know. I love Jeopardy, man. How could, like, what are you going to do now?
Did you hear what we played?
We're
going to
play it. I
saw
it last night, too. We'll play it. It's classic.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely great. Yeah.
Imlock and he was Bobby Punch Hall, Imlock, baby. Stan Mikita.
He was the best. He looked, through everything, too. And he worked, like you guys were saying, all the way pretty much to the end here. And he looked great for his age, And it's terrible that when you get that diagnosis, like, that's never good. That's one of the bad ones.
That's one of the bad
ones.
You like the Jet? What do you like? Like the Jets?
So, I don't know.
What's the line?
It's like,
what do you like tonight, Carm?
Let me look at the latest line, actually, on that.
My guy Sasha
I can't ever bet the Jets.
It's 10 points, Carm.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it 9 or 10? I can't ever. But the Jets have covered once this year, guys. We're in week 9. They've covered one time.
So you like the Jets?
Nah, I'm not going to. I'd lay it.
It'd be just like Belichick to find a way to lose this game. So he could move up in the draft board.
I don't know.
Carm likes the Jets in the 10. All right, good.
No, I think I'd lay it tonight. I'm not going to play it, but I think if anything, I'd probably lay it. I'm not betting the Jets, Hoodie. They've covered one time. It's week 9.
And Flacco at quarterback. And
they're terrible. They're worse than the Bears.
COVID Cam, though. He's not the same guy.
COVID Cam.
I'm just saying, not the same guy.
I think it might just be old Cam, poor Cam. I mean, I don't know if it's the COVID. That poor guy's been beat half to hell,
Yeah.
COVID Cam. Yeah. I love the commercial. I love the Tide commercial, by the way, where the Patriots the Patriots assistant trainer, he's dressed like Cam Newton. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's so great. And then at the end, there's Cam Newton sitting there. He's got like the identical outfit on. He's watching on TV. He goes, we have an assistant trainer? Or an assistant He goes, we have an assistant locker room guy? I love that. The guy's dressed just like Cam Newton in New England's locker room. It's great.
Oh, man.
All right, we're going to get out of your way.
All right, boys.
Have a great rest of your day. Hoodie, I'll see you in the morning, kid.
See you in the morning.
All right. For Hoodie, I'm Cap. Carmen Yurk, our next. See ya.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You know, we can't let the Bears bring us down too much because we are wrapping up one of the most sensational weeks I can remember weather-wise for November. You know, I mean, it's November 9th here, and we've got like a 75-degree day. I refuse to let the Bears completely bring me down, Yurko.
Yeah, I refuse it too, Carm.
And good for you. You went out and you played golf 3 times over the weekend. God bless you. So did Merck.
I played 4 times.
You played 4 times over
Wednesday,
the weekend.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I took Saturday off. I played Sunday.
Unbelievable. The Bears kept a lot of us trapped inside for about 3 hours. I'm a little upset about that. We'll never get those 3 hours back. But, hey, it is absolutely beautiful outside for a couple of more days or at least another day and a half. So let's enjoy it as best we can. Yeah, the Bears have us a little soured, but we'll soldier on, Yurko. They lose again. We told you they were a lousy 5-1 team. People didn't want to believe it. They're a lousy 5-4 team. They're the worst winning team in the league. But I mean, maybe one of the worst you're ever going to see, quite frankly. People don't want to hear things like that, I guess, when their teams stockpile wins in a sense, but they won two games that they had no business winning, and no NFL team had ever done what they did in a season, let alone in the span of 3 weeks. They're frauds, plain and simple. They were frauds at 5-1. They're frauds at 5-4. And I can't put it any simpler than that. I'm sorry. I don't know how much, you know, how many times can we say this is broken or that's broken or Matt Nagy should give up play calling? This is futile.
If your head coach that you brought here to call plays is going to give up play calling, you might as well start making changes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a note out there this morning, and I don't know who had it, Sports Mockery or somebody. I was reading stuff. And they said that George McCaskey is – George McCaskey doesn't know a damn thing about football. Okay, George McCaskey can't go out and identify with other teams who are the people that he should or should not hire. He can't look at it and say, boy, this kid is something exceptional with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or when I go to the Baltimore Ravens, this is the coach. He doesn't know that. He's got to hire other people to try to figure that out. And the people that he's hired to try to figure out who the hell the coaches should be have done him wrong. Ernie, of course, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. All he's doing is getting paid and suggesting names. That's right. What he does.
He's okay. A consultant.
Consultant. Okay, I can put a list of NFL guys together. I don't even know half the guys that are in the league. But I can put it together and say, okay, these are from successful teams. This guy runs the tight ends for this team. This guy should be a prospect. Anybody can do that. Okay? The point is you've got to be able to identify. What they've been able to do in Pittsburgh over the course of time is understand what it takes to have a quality head coach. They make a commitment to that individual, and they go about the business of supporting him and getting him the talent they need. And if the talent's not there, they get rid of it, and they bring different talent in. Okay? McCaskey's upset with Ryan Pace. And so what? He's upset. What's he going to do? He doesn't have the skill to hire anybody. He doesn't know what he's doing.
So, and you're talking about
the
Eric
people
Lambert,
in that family, the people in that family that knew anything about football are dead.
Yeah, which is sad.
Those people are dead, and they've been dead for a long time.
Yeah.
They're the ones that could identify.
Unfortunately, okay? Muggsy went before the old man, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, yes. And when the old man died and Muggsy was gone, like, you might be right, Yurko, that there's nobody else in the family. There's, you know, this is all on the McCaskey side of things now, and I don't know why they swing and miss as often as they do. I don't know what the Rooneys do differently. I really don't. And you were talking about Eric Lambert's article at Sports Mockery. You're absolutely right, Yurk. I don't know who he's supposed to turn to. Who is George? I mean, Sylvie's always said, why don't they go out and hire Peyton Manning to run, you know, to at least oversee, and then he can hire people under him. Like, where does he turn, Yurk? Like, who does he hand football operations over to? Is that what he has to do? Does he have to find someone that can start hiring these GMs and these personnel people for him because he's incapable of doing it?
Well, obviously it starts with identifying pro talent and identifying college talent. That's how it begins, all right? So you've got to find the people that know that, guys that have been around for an extended period of time. Some of these guys are curmudgeons, you know? Some of these guys don't want to deal with people. They got their own quirks and their own things, but those are the guys that you need to hire, you know, underneath your director of pro personnel, underneath your director of college personnel. You know, who are the guys that are out there? Peyton Manning, you throw. Listen, I thought Mike Holmgren would be able to do it.
Yeah.
Mike Holmgren went to two different teams and couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Couldn't find a way to get it done.
The Cleveland experiment was, right. You know, pretty.
That was particularly painful.
That was a big failure. Yeah.
Right. It was. I think he knows more about football than most people do.
I would agree with you there.
Right? So it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but my point is this guy doesn't know what to do. You know, as far as he can't identify the talent, so he's going to be dependent upon somebody to do that. Who are the guys that are outside? Louis Riddick.
Yeah.
Okay, you want one name I can give you? I'll give you Louis Riddick. Get Louis Riddick in there, bring him in as a general manager, tell him to get his support staff around him and go about the business of trying to identify it and get it done. But do you tap the same tree then if you fire Matt Nagy? Do you go get Eric Bieniemy?
I don't know.
I mean, it's the same tree.
Yeah,
you
know, it is.
Is it's that Andy what you Reed's, do? You go back and you go ahead and say, okay, I'll do this again?
You know what really sucks, too? How many of Andy Reid's guys have gone on to have success? And, like, right. The Bears, of course, end up with the guy that doesn't. You know, like, the guy that doesn't get it, the Bears end up with. You know, it's like the Bulls when they drafted Marcus Teague. Like, every guard from Kentucky, every player from Kentucky that's come into the league in the last 10 years has been great, except for the one the Bulls ended up with. Right. You know, it's like, what the hell? How does that happen? I mean, you're right. Do you go back and start plucking another branch off that tree? I don't know.
Or do you go off a Shanahan tree?
Kyle Shanahan tree or a McVay, right. That's a good point.
Or do you bring the old man in, Mike Shanahan?
Oh, God. I mean, we're making fun of La Russa managing at 76. I mean, how old's Mike? Mike's got to be 70,
well, you're not
right?
Bringing him in to coach here. You're bringing him to run the program.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I got you. I don't know. I mean, you watch them, and it's just you get a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. It's as simple as that. It's a Bears Monday, and you are welcome to join us. You're welcome to vent. How you think this gets fixed? I don't see a very clear path here. The league is pretty topsy-turvy. The Bears, because they were 5-1 by some act of God, could still make the playoffs. Probably will, but they're not favored again. They're an underdog at home again in Week 10 going into their bye against the Viking. Their next three games, by the way, are against the division. 3-1-2. Go ahead, Yerk.
Did you say how to fix it this year? It can't be fixed this year. Your offensive line can't be fixed this year. Yeah, your offensive line can't be fixed. Your offense can't be fixed.
Yeah. So I can't see this offense getting better. Even if they were healthier on the offensive line, I'm not sure they'd be any better. 312-332-3776. That's the number. Where you would start, how you'd fix it, is there any hope? And the one thing that we keep talking about is Matt Nagy surrendering play calling duties. Would that even matter at this point? And do you want to see it happen just to see? 312-332-3776. Lots of great sound, some fun stuff. Some aggravating stuff to recap from the Bears game, obviously. We'll talk about it all. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
First down. Late blown dig, heavily flagged down. Could be false start.
False start. Offense, number 72. 5-yard penalty. It's first down.
And it's Leno.
Because the clock was not running, there is no 10-second runoff.
The ball at the 47 of the Bears, who are out of timeouts, trailing 10-0, leading the NFL in penalties with 59. And another flag down.
Illegal use of hands to the face. Offense, number 69. 10-yard penalty, repeat first down.
So that's penalty on the right tackle, Rashad Coward.
How can you overcome this week in and week out?
And the Bears are going to line up and go for it on fourth down and a yard. So the Bears going for it on fourth and one here at the 31. And now Tennessee signaling that there's a false start penalty coming up against Chicago.
False start. Offense, number 71. 5-yard penalty, it's fourth down.
Now from the Titans' 36-yard line. And again, penalty marker down, and the false start called again against the Bears, second in a row.
False start. Offense, number 80.
This time it was Jimmy Graham, the tight end, and this time the Bears are going to have to kick the ball away. Losing the ball is Foles, hands off to Patterson. And Patterson gets a couple of yards. Could have been disaster for the Bears as the miscommunication from the center. And keep in mind, Alex Barnes, normally a left guard, playing center today.
Vic, when it's bad, it's bad. And it's bad right now for the Chicago Bears. I mean, a simple snap, he just mishandles it, Nick Foles does. It just does not look good. Nothing has worked for the Chicago Bears.
And they flip it out to Montgomery, who loses the ball. It's picked up by the Titans. And it's the newcomer, Desmond King, who's going to run it in for the touchdown.
The running bit continues. Benny Hill. I mean, every week, are you kidding? We've got a Benny Hill montage every week. That's how bad they are. Meller's going to make a whole montage at the end of the year. It's going to be 10 minutes long.
We're already approaching 10 minutes from the last 3 weeks. What are you talking about?
Don't worry. If they don't fix things here, it's going to be 35 minutes, kid.
Oh, my God. And it's Carmen and Yurko.
It could get ugly, and the only thing you can bank on is hopefully the defense. But even then, I mean, this is a 10-0 game.
10-0.
The Bears moving the ball at the end of, at the beginning of the half. They were moving the ball.
They had.
They shot themselves in the foot.
The defense gave up 17 points. Of course, there was a fumble return for a touchdown. The defense might not be the defense of 18. They're still pretty good. Dare I say very good. I mean, they're still a top 10 defense. And the Bears are wasting it. And look, we've seen them waste defenses over the years, right? This has always been a defensive town. This is what they've done. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, this is epically bad. And we've seen them waste defenses, but not to this extent.
Well, they can be frustrated, but they have not played a perfect game either. So
it's kind of sad that they need to if the Bears are going to win. Right. It feels here on out.
That's where you're at. Your defense has got to play a perfect game for you to have a chance to win. That's where you're at, and they haven't been able to do it.
I've updated this a few times. I'll do it again so people get the picture, and I think people get it. I mean, you got to really have your head buried in the sand or buried somewhere else, maybe up your you know what, if you think that somehow the. Yeah, I don't know how even the most optimistic Bear fan can paint a rosy picture right now. I really don't. I mean, the Bears' offensive ranks across the NFL since the start of last season. I mean, it's a big sample here, guys. You had 16 games last year. You've played 9 games this year. Points, 29th. Yards per play, 31st. Rushing yards per attempt, 30th. Net yards per pass attempt, 31st. Third down percentage, 29th. Passer rating, 24th. I mean, those are the Bears' offensive ranks. This is Matt Nagy's offense. It was with Trubisky last year and the early portion of this year. He stinks. It's with the hand-picked replacement for him, Nick Foles. He stinks. I mean, it is the same old nonsense. 312-332-3776. This is Wilford on the south side on ESPN 1000. What's up, Wilford?
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Good, good, good. Hey, I heard you guys talking about, you know, possible replacements and whose tree we can pick from. Why can't we pick from the Chicago tree? Well, what's wrong with Leslie Frazier up in Minnesota?
Leslie Frazier's in Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. I'm sorry, Buffalo. Buffalo, yeah. My bad. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I mean, Les has been a head coach in this league before.
You want an offensive mind, Carmen.
I do.
You want a head coach with an offensive mind. That's what you're looking for.
I'd be more willing for them, like Yurko said. Would you go back to the Andy Reid tree? Yeah, like if you plucked Bieniemy, I mean, I wouldn't say just because Nagy stinks, that means Bieniemy's going to stink.
Right.
You know, I'd lean that way before I lean Les Frazier. I got to be honest.
You're talking about a guy like who's probably 49, 50 right now. That's where you got
Bieniemy?
Bieniemy, yeah. About that age, that's where he's at right there. He's been in the league. He's a lifer, played in the league.
51, Yurk. Yep.
Yeah, he's now gotten out of the league, you know. So, I mean, he's been around for an extended period of time. He's probably already put together, you know, his staff. You know how you do that? Well, if I were to get a head coaching job, who would I want as my coordinators? This is how I'd like to fill out the staff. You know, reach back into the college ranks and, you know, talk to some of his guys and see if they've got any young up-and-comers that like to bring him in as quality control guys, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, you'd go about the business of doing that. He'd go about the business of saying, okay, these are your top free agents or your top guys that I want to look at, maybe trade for you. You run those simulations through your mind all the time. I'm sure he's already done that. But do you go back to the Kansas City tree? That's the question.
I wouldn't be afraid. I'll say that. I wouldn't be afraid to, just because Nagy hasn't worked out the way we thought. CTA, it's a good question, though. CTAQ is in the city. What's up, Q?
How you doing, man? Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Man, you guys are exactly right. This all starts from the top, man. You got ownership who don't know nothing about football. They hire a GM who obviously can't, you know what I'm saying, see talent or identify talent. Then you got a coach who can't teach talent and refuse to try to teach his scheme to fit his players. I mean, they look confused and lost every game. I just don't see how it's going to change.
They look confused. They look dejected. You've got visible frustration. Oh, offensively, that's what I mean. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yes.
Defensively, they start, you know, hey, this we got to get it done. We got to do it. They get beat on the big play down the left sideline, right? The near sideline as you're looking at the game. So they go down 10-0. They're fighting. They're scratching. They're kicking. They're doing everything they can. And then the offense gives up a touchdown and puts them in a 17-0 hole. Now, if I'm the defense looking at my offense down 17-0, I'm looking right and left. If I'm Hakeem Hicks, I'm out, fellas. We either score or this isn't going to happen
That's it. Like, they need to score. They need to get one of those turnovers like they did against Carolina that sets them up, first and goal or inside the red zone.
Money time. That's what you got to have. And the meaningless touchdowns at the end of this game mean nothing to me.
Nothing. Either they didn't mean anything in the Colts game. They don't mean anything in this game, Mirko. You are 100% right. Luckily, they're not even really trying to sell that. At least I don't think they are, because that's a joke. 312-332-3776. Hit us up on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco, at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. More of your Bears calls coming up. And is it time for Matt Nagy to pass play calling duties on to someone else? We'll discuss and play some sound for Matt Nagy post game yesterday, coming up next.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Yeah.
Bears lose in Tennessee, 24-17. The final wasn't that close, obviously. Bears fall to 5-4. This will be their 10th game coming up a week from tonight to wrap Week 10. Monday Night Football against the Vikings. The next three are against the division. So, 10 games. This will be the 10th. The Bears have been an underdog in 9 of them. They're an underdog again this week. Even the look-ahead line had them as about a 1.5 favorite. But after they went down their pants again, and the Vikings look pretty good for the second straight week, because Dalvin Cook is just a monster. When he's healthy, watch out. They just got to make sure they don't let Kirk Cousins beat him. How'd you like that? You're paying your quarterback $36 million, and you're saying, we just can't let our quarterback beat us.
Well, at some point, you've got to make decisions. Yeah, at some point, you've got to make decisions, because it's going to stop you from keeping people you want to keep.
I think I'd still I long for Kirk Cousins as a Bears fan. I'll take him over Mitch. I'll take him over Nick Foles, I can tell you that. Yeah. It's Carmen and Yurko. Yeah, you like that.
You like that. Still not an answer.
No, he ain't an answer. You're
still
right.
Not an answer.
Every time they go out and they try to let him win the game, he throws 3 interceptions in the first half. We're on Twitch. Watch us each and every day in the first Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Here's Matt Nagy after the game yesterday. What changes are you willing to make for the offense?
It's hard to say right now, right after, an hour or whatever, it's half hour after the game. And so I got to go back and watch it. But, we're at a point. We knew going into today's game that it was going to be challenging in certain areas when you're in this position that we're in. And we understand that. But to me, Jason, I think the biggest thing is it's one thing. There's going to be a play here or there where you're going to get beat. And I'm saying everywhere, like there'll be a mistake that we make, everybody, whether it's coaches and or players. But the ones that bother me are the ones where you have the senseless ones with the penalties that set you back 5 yards and make a 2nd and 15, or they're drive killers. Those are the ones that, and again, we're discussing that. We talk about that, and they're continuing to happen. So, that has to stop. It just, you have to get in a rhythm, and then in the red zone, you got to be more effective. So, that's what we got to do.
They say it over and over again. It's just not translating. They got a lot going on right now. I get it. A lot of teams do. A lot of teams deal with injuries. A lot of teams have to shuffle players in and out of their offensive line. This is also an indictment on Ryan Pace. The way he drafts, the kind of talent that he's put on this team, or the lack thereof, they have completely ignored the offensive line in his tenure as general manager in the draft year. Completely.
Yes.
I shouldn't say completely, but by and large.
Right.
You're drafting tackles late in the 7th round. You're taking flyers on them. Not going to happen. Not going to work.
And I mean, you can address that via free agency, but you get Bobby Massey in here, you got a journeyman. You got a guy that's okay. I mean, he's not a guy that they've identified for the other team and said, well, we just don't want to pay him superstar money because we don't think he's a superstar. And then you bring him in here, and he was serviceable. Leno on the other side, not so much. You brought in a bargain basement offensive guard hoping he could do something. You find now that he's just a clodhopper and he's got poor technique.
That's a Fetty, right?
Yeah, that's a Fetty, and he's not that good at all. You've made some investments in James Daniels, but he's not here. And Cody Whitehair popped a calf and is COVIDed up. So, that's where you find yourself Now you've got what? You got Coward playing on this offensive line. You got Albright. I thought it was Madeline Albright, but no, it's a different guy. You know, you got the only starter is Leno right now. Oh, that's it. That's your only starter.
Yeah.
And of the, all of them, he was playing the worst of the five that were healthy. So, congratulations.
I guess
Jimmy Graham's your blocking tight end. You're in trouble, too.
I guess.
You can't fire nobody, Carm. There's nobody to fire. You can't replace a guy. You can't put him on the bench.
That's how a team with seven sacks gets three in one game. Oh, you know, they go up against that offensive line. Ryan's in Gurney. What's up, Ryan?
Guys, I'm all upset after listening to that clip from Nagy. He basically said, I'm Matt Nagy. Like, I'm not doing nothing. But you know what I will do is the players. The players got to make plays. Like, if the players start making plays, we'll start winning, he basically said. And, you know, I've been out of the car, and all I've been thinking is, like, Yerk, like, how do you go from Super Bowl MVP mechanics to jump passes and crazy legs?
Anytime you get punched in the face, that's what happens.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, you get hit in the face a couple times. All of a sudden, your feet start to dance.
Well, he's uncomfortable.
Brady's done it.
Look at Brady last night. They were all over Tom Brady. He looked terrible. Absolutely.
Even Brady does it. Drew Brees does it. If he gets smacked in the face a couple times, he's dancing all over the place, too.
They all do. You're right. And he's so immobile. I mean, he is really like a statue back there, Nick Foles. No, you're right. I mean, he knows what that the inability that that line truly has to kind of protect him. And fundamentally, he looks off and broken. The offense is broken in more ways than one. Injuries is a part of that. I get it. But it's more than just the injuries, man.
He threw a great pass when he hit Riley Ridley across the middle.
He did. He threw a great pass in the first and the great second ball. Half on that opening drive to Anthony Miller. They just don't make enough of those plays, Yerk. They can't string them together, and that's the problem.
And they're shooting themselves in the foot all the time, and that's what the coach is talking about, too. They keep shooting themselves in the foot.
So if Nagy were to give up play-calling duties, let's examine the potential replacements here for the rest of the year. We can kind of go man by man, and I guess speculate or wonder if it would be any better. 312-332-3776 on where you are with this Bears team now at 5-4. Give me a break that this is a 5-4 football team. Offensively, they're as bad as any team in the NFL. We'll be right back. We return in 2 minutes.